Accession number 12135, rail 1.
Mr. Budzik, rail 1. Whereabouts were you born, please?
I was born in a small village called Winkavica. It's district Tarnów, that's the southern part of Poland.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was an army officer, infantry. He was a captain, his rank, last rank, of course.
Was your family rich or poor?
I would say a family was comfortable.
Did you go to school in
yes,
your village?
Yes, in Tarnów. That's the town where we spent most of the educational and used to live in that place.
And were you a Catholic family?
Yes, Roman Catholics. Yes.
How old were you when you left school?
I was 17.
What did you do when you left?
When I left, I joined the Air Force.
Why did you want to join the Air Force?
Well, that was always my ambition to fly, ever since I was a little boy. Why, I really don't know, but it was a sort of a fantasy. Anyway, it came to...
Was it easy to get into the Polish Air Force?
It was rather difficult. Yes, rather difficult. I don't know how many applicants there was, but there was a few thousand application, and there was, I think there was about, in our particular academy, it was 180 accepted. You see, that's part of the, there was, we had two, one where they used to train pilots, and then there was another academy, technical side. I'm talking about the one which used to train pilots, which was in Dęblin. It's about southeast, about 20 miles southeast of Poland, of Warsaw.
You wanted to be a pilot?
Oh, yes, definitely, yes.
And this was 1937?
1937. And we went, of course, before we start flying, we had to go through the, what they used to call square bashing, you see? And then we start theory, you see? And in summer 1938, was it summer or early spring, we start flying on what they call a first RWD, that's the name of the plane. You see, well, that was the first sort of a plane we used to start. And then, of course, after that period, they used to divide people, them who passed the course for the pilots and them who didn't, observers. And then we went in the second stage. It was PWS 26. That was another course.
Did you find it easy to learn to fly?
I should think to start with hard, but I think as we're progressing, it was getting easier and easier. Once you start getting more confidence, it's same as anything else, I suppose. When you start learning, it's a little bit hard. And then as you start getting to it, it's getting easier. It was excitement to start with. It was a marvelous feeling, it's obvious. Anyway, after the second course, used to divide them who finished the course, fighters and the bombers, you see. Majority of the, after second course, used to go on to the fighter side. And then when we finished that, we went in the third stage, which was flying personally on PZL, That is a Polish fighter pilot. PZL 7, because the same PZL 11 was in the squadron, Polish squadron. And then, of course, when I finished that, the war broke out.
Had you expected a war to be coming?
I think it was because we already, last time I was at home, it was Christmas 1938, and I never been home since. You see, because already all that, they knew there's something going on. Obviously, we wasn't expecting anything. We knew very little, but fact is that there was something going on because all the leave and everything was stopped, so we had to stop in the unit. I never been home till after the war.
What do you remember about the first day of the war, September the 1st?
First day, they start early in the morning, they start bomb. Bombs start dropping. That's how we knew about the war.
Where were you?
I was at in there, on the airfield.
Which airfield?
There was just outside Dublin called Uens. That's the name of the place. Uens, you see. And actually, Dublin itself now used to get bombed, you see. And of course, we went, I can't remember exactly how, when he got back to Dublin, they still got bombed, you know. I remember us, we made like a group. I don't know, 10 or 15 of us, with ordinary rifles, as were Germans coming, we used to give the order, they used to bang, you see, used to shoot at them. That was, as you know, our Air Force didn't last very long, you see, we never had a chance.
What rank did you have then, a cadet?
I was a cadet, but what happened was, as the war broke out, then while we were on the way to Romania, we had notification that we'd been promoted to second lieutenants from the 1st of September 1939. So actually we got commissioned without any ceremonies, anything like that, through the degree of the president, which was at the time Moshchitsky, that's his name.
What was the damage to the airfield?
Oh, it was considerable damage, a lot of building destroyed, you know, some people get killed, of course, you know. I can't remember details exactly there, but there was quite a lot of damage.
Were there aeroplanes destroyed on the
ground?
Yes,
obviously, yes. There was some damage and all this, yes.
What were your orders once the Germans...
Orders, our group was ordered to go to Romania. And I believe, I'm not certain about it, but I was told, and we've been told more or less, that we're going to Romania to collect some planes which are supposed to be sent by Britain and France. Whether they come or not, I don't know personally. And they're supposed to be in Romanian port, Constanța.
Can you tell me about your journey to Romania? Oh, it was
terrific. It took us, we crossed over 2 weeks, must have been, because we had crossed the border on 17th of September. That was exactly when the Russian, we stood on the border, Romanian-Russian border, and we had to cross into Russia, because Russians were already coming in. That was the... it would be about just over 2 weeks. Must have been over 2 weeks. It would be. I think about 3rd or 4th when Britain and France declared the war. It was the 3rd. Whether it is correct or not, I don't know, I'm afraid. But
what adventures did you have in
Poland? Oh, we've been traveling on train, on the foot, on horses, all different way, you know, because all the stations were bombed, you see, by Germans, so there was no trains, so we just use any means of transport. But we kept in an organized group right through the end. Yes, I remember that. That was the... And we've been on the way, we have been attacked by Germans as well, planes, of course, We had to go for cover and all that. But the details is difficult to remember.
How were you received in Romania?
Well, actually, we've been interned. See, when we had the rifles, you see, we had to dispose of that when we crossed the border, and we've been put in a camp, internal with the guard. But personally, myself and a few others, we went out first night. We've been just wandering all over Romania, trying to get somewhere. Not till we found out that they tried to get us out somewhere to France or somewhere like that. Anyway, we make our way to Constanța, and from there, as a student, they make the papers somehow. As a student, personally, and then quite a few others as well, we've been put on the ship. It took us to Syria, which used to be French colony at the time, Beirut. It was all old type of the ship. See, I think it used to carry Jews or whatever, I don't know. Anyway, we went to Romania, to Beirut, which was French colony. And that's there. And from there, after a few days, we've been taken by French ship to Marseille, to France.
What happened to you there?
Up there, of course, we've joined the French Air Force, you see. And after a few weeks, I was posted to that place I was on about, Pau. That was a Potez 25 used to fly. I could remember the name, but that's the name of the plane. Potez 25, all biplane, all type. And then there was twin engine, and then the Devoatin 500.
Were you hoping to get into the fighting in France?
Oh, yes, but unfortunately, the war didn't last there very long as well. Some of our people did manage to get to squadrons, and with the French they flew, but personally I didn't get to actual squadron.
So you left Po to get to Britain?
No, when the France collapsed in 1940, as you know, Germans went only so far where the Bordeaux is, perhaps you realize where the Bordeaux is on the Atlantic side, they went and they stopped there. And there was that bottom part of France was sort of, they call it, free France. So our group, we try, the planes we had, they haven't had enough fuel to get you either to England or to North Africa. So we say, let's go and go to Bordeaux, because we've heard there's some French Air Force there. We nearly got arrested there, by French. See then. So we decided to, let's say, we cross into France, to Spain. And then we come to a little port called Port Vendre, which is French-Spanish sort of a border there. And then there was a French ship which wouldn't let us on the boat, not till the British destroyer come and order them to take all the Polish people onto boat. Once we get on the ship, we went right across to a place called Oran.
Which Polish people? All
all Polish people who were there, actually. All Air Force people who were there in that particular area, in Port Vendre.
Were there many?
Oh, there was quite a few, because they all... She was trying to make a way. Somehow this news, where to go, people used to find out somehow, and they used to gather in these particular places. And that was the... I was a big... And then we went...
What do you remember about the British destroyer?
Well, I can't remember the name, I'm afraid. You know, I know that, of course, we didn't know at the time, but I knew the French stood with the rifles on that ship. They wouldn't let us on. He was in a pod. We was trying to go on it. And when the British destroyer came, then we found out that the British captain threatened that merchant ship. I said, if he doesn't take us on the boat, he's going to sink. You know, he's going to sink him. That's what I've heard afterwards.
How did the British captain know that?
I don't know. I'm afraid I can't tell you, but all I know is what we've been told afterwards, that that he was forced by British captain, I suppose he would be captain, to take us on across to North Africa.
Were you attacked on the way to Oran?
No, no, not at all. Because in Oran, it was all French shipping there, but French took us right outside the village, you see, and then we've been left with no food, anything like that, but being young, all these chaps, they found the food. And then traveling across North Africa, used to be a foreign legion in different places. They used to have sandwiches and things like that. As a matter of fact, they tried to us to join their foreign legion as well, you know, but we weren't interested. We went right across to Casablanca.
So the foreign legion helped you?
They did, yes. They did in that case, definitely.
Are they friendly?
French, yes. The French foreign legion.
Were they friendly?
Well, I would think, yes, that... yes, it's different to actually the Frenchmen in France when after armistice there, because they're wasn't very. But and then when we got to Casablanca, from there we changed another ship. I can't remember what sort of a ship. It could be a British. We went to Gibraltar there, and we changed the ship in Gibraltar, and then in convoy. We've come to Britain, you see. We've been about 2 weeks on the sea from Gibraltar. But coming back to Gibraltar, what stands in my mind, because that particular time, Britain, only allies, Britain's heart was Poland. And he was very pleased to hear, I think there was a hoot there, one of the big, in that particular, in Gibraltar. They, every morning, we stayed a few days there, because we wasn't on the land, we had to stop on the ship, they play national anthem, British and Polish. Whether they play that because we were there, I don't know, but that's why we were very pleased. And from there, we've seen the fleet come out, see, I've watched it. When we got to England, I've heard they destroy all the shipping in Oran. Yeah. Because France wouldn't join, the French Navy wouldn't join the Allies, you see. And that's witnessed that. Of course, not knowing then what were they going to, but it was, that's how I found it. And we landed in Liverpool. In the first christening we had, because the first time it rained when we landed, it would be end of June, when we landed in Britain. And the first time we witnessed the rain for ages. I said, now we're in England, we know.
So did you then join the RAF?
And we already been, I can't remember what place, we've been posted to sort of a transit camp near Gloucester, somewhere on there, but somewhere between Gloucester and Bristol. I can't remember the name, I'm sorry. See. And from there, we start being posted. Personally, I was posted to, I think it was Evanton. Oh, no. Am I right? No. I was posted, it was still 1940, I was posted to ATA. I was stationed at White Waltham, which is near Maidenhead.
What happened to you there?
And, of course, we flew different planes there. I can't remember what sort of Ansons, you know, Oxford, Ansons, all sorts. But I think the idea was to have us ready in case they want to deliver, because that was actually delivering. They used to deliver the planes. But I never delivered anything personally, you see. And from there, after the wire, how long, you know, months or so, I've been posted to Scotland at Evanton. That's near Inverness, or not far from Inverness.
This was the time of the Battle of Britain.
I think it was already, when I was in Maidenhead, it was Battle of Britain going on, that's correct, yes.
Did you see anything of it?
Oh yeah, well, we've seen planes, you know, there, but being that far, you couldn't sort it out what's going on, really, you know.
Did you think the Germans were going to win the Battle of Britain?
Well, of course, then there was no word like Battle of Britain, you know, perhaps you don't realize, nobody was using, you see, there was obviously then. But I think we had, all my friends and all that, we had confidence they won't get here, because we thought that Britain, it was too strong and it was well prepared, which Britain that time it wasn't, you know, not till later on. It was well provided, I think, in food and things like that, but as regarding the air forces, and not, of course, you know, Battle of Britain, I think if Germany knew, if it lasted a bit longer, they could have won it. But they didn't realize how few planes was left in reserve.
Did there seem to be much of a fighting spirit in Britain?
Oh, yes. The fighting spirit was amazing. That is my personal view, you see. They really, people were really determined, and they were so friendly, you see. They're really so friendly for anybody in uniform. Give you the instance. When I used to go, of course, as you know, London was bombed and all this, and all the especially rich people used to come out to these outside places. And then there was like a big bar, whatever it was, hotel. We used to go there, have a drink, if we could afford it, because we haven't had much money them days. And then we used to go in there, and the people used to buy you, never spend a penny. They were really, you know, everything.
What happened to you at Everton?
Everton, I used to fly a big plane, perhaps you've heard about Harrow. And then you used to carry the gunners, they used to train the gunners, you know, they used to carry them, they had shooting practices and all sorts, you see, and used to fly them, see, up and down for a bit. And then I flew another plane there, which was torpedo plane, perhaps you've heard about it, Bofa. You see, the deadly thing it was. There's quite a few crashes on them, and not personally, I haven't.
Why deadly?
Well, they said once there was something wrong with the engine, you see, and you had to be really correct. But you mustn't forget that we had a lot of practice because we started before the war, and as flying, we slightly above, let's say, young Englishmen who come from school and went on a plane like that, it was rather harder for them than for us, who have been already more experienced, you see, that was the...
Did you find the RAF methods very different from the Polish Air
Force? Oh, yes. It's one vast difference. You see, we had to learn that. When in plane, in Poland, a throttle to open, you had to pull it that way.
Backwards.
You see there. And in this country, you go forward, you see. And that was one of the things there. Of course, plane itself was far superior to what we had. There's no question about that. So it was vast improvement as far as we're concerned, you see. And that's what we've been lacking in Poland, equipment. You see, perhaps if we had it, we could stood better against Germans. That's my personal opinion, and majority of our people. We haven't had the opportunity. No way we had a chance with what we had. You see.
Did anything surprise you about the RAF?
It surprised me. It's difficult to say what surprised me. Easy going, sort of, let's put it that way. You know, you remember typical RAF man with the moustache, sitting again about drinking, you know, perhaps he goes across, I'm talking about later stages even, go across for a sweep, come back and to the bar like nothing happened, you see. And this is sort of a attitude, you know. But it does influence, because our people were more determined, you see, because we were, you know, revenge for all the bad things they've done to us, you see. whether they treat, especially the old type of British flyers, I mean, they used to take it as a sport, you see, more than... that was the difference, you see, that you might... I could be wrong, but the way I see it. But I must say, they're very friendly. There's no question about that. Despite our difficulties, language difficulties, because we couldn't, when we come here, we never spoke. I don't think it was many who could speak English. And that was one of the biggest problems.
So you were preparing to go into an operational squadron?
Yeah, I went from Everton. I was posted to somewhere near Rednal. I think there was a place called Rednal. And when I went on the Spitfires there, that was in 41.
What was it like when you first flew the Spitfire?
Well, it was excitement. Of course, you're explaining what you do. Well, taking off is not there, because pilot takes you, you begin to feel, as we say, we had this experience, so you learn that quickly. But biggest worry was you've got to come back and land on the thing. So what we did, you had to find your stalling speed. And normally you used to go, perhaps you climb over a cumulus or something, and you used to try it, you see. I said, when it start breaking. Also, they told you, you're there. But it didn't take long. You know, honestly, it was such a lovely plane to fly, and of course, more powerful than anything I flew. You see, it was that first impression when you opened that throttle. It was, of course, today probably doesn't mean anything, but then it was really something, you see. And you felt that you've got something here. It was fantastic, you see.
Why was it such a nice plane to fly?
Well, everything was you could see lovely. Only thing was difficult part was it. When you sit on a plane, you cockpit there, all you have to do is your direction. You don't see till you get your tail up, and then you begin to see where you're going. That's only time. Same when you're landing, you more or less, you have to look across. But that soon come. It doesn't take long to acquire all the disadvantages, but it was fantastic plane. You know, there's no climbing and turning. It was superb. You see, everything was correct there.
Can you tell me about 303 Squadron, the squadron that you first joined?
Well, of course, I was only a little up there. I had nothing to say because these chaps, they've been after Battle of Britain, all experience. So you couldn't open your mouth because you know, all you had to do listen what they say, you see, and do exactly what they say.
What did they tell you about the battle?
Well, I mean, obviously they tell you the stories how they used to go in, and because they're quite successful squadron 303. Perhaps you know from there, they had quite a few. The stories I don't remember exactly. Pity, surely you can come across somewhere number of planes they destroy and all that. It was quite successful.
But you did you go into combat with 303?
No, because there was no... It might be we've been doing some convoys, but I never come across Jerry, anything, not till I joined at Nautol 308 Squadron.
Can you tell me about 308 Squadron?